This Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.
Hi, I am Ruth Bushinsky, the senior editor of Cybercrime Magazine, and in our studios today is Teresa Payton. Teresa was the former chief information officer at the White House. She is one of the nation's leading experts in cybersecurity, and we are so excited to welcome Teresa today to our studios in Northport. Hello, Teresa.
Super excited to be here. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. We are talking about phishing. If you can tell our audience what exactly the term means, and then I'll tell you what we've been doing here at Cybersecurity Ventures.
Sure. I mean, phishing, it's what's interesting is think about the analogy of when you're fishing, you put a lure on a hook, and then you cast your rod, and then you hope that a fish will take the bait. That's how you do real fishing. So fishing with a PH in sort of the digital world, phishing, is the same idea. And in some cases, it's so sophisticated, it's actually targeted and customized and individualized to you. And that's actually spear phishing, where they've actually customized it. They use your name, they use things they know about you, and they try to do something that gets you to click on a link, open an attachment, or give up information you normally wouldn't give to strangers.
Wow. That's one of the cyber threats today that a lot of people are concerned about. And I don't know if you can share like any specific data with us on how prevalent phishing scams are today.
Sure. And so it's interesting, and they're getting more sophisticated. I just saw that there's a new phishing scam for Instagram. So a lot of people think about this and they think it's just, you know, corporate email. And in the Instagram scam, they actually send you a two-factor authentication, a fake code to really convince you that it's Instagram and it's the security department. So we're seeing these very sophisticated scams go on. And what I can tell you is oftentimes what we call patient zero, because we do forensics, and in our incident response, oftentimes what we'll find is, unfortunately, it was either a third-party vendor, a contractor, or an employee who went to work, wanted to do a good job that day, and they got tricked into clicking on a link or wiring money or giving up credentials, and they thought they were doing the right thing and they were doing the wrong thing. So it's very prevalent, and I can tell you that we've seen spear phishing and just regular flat out, you know, phishing happening where firms are just struggling to keep up. I mean, 100% of the companies that we work with find phishing emails are getting past all of their defenses to their employees. But luckily with training, the employees are reporting the things that are getting past all of the security filters.
Regarding the phishing, obviously I have teenagers who love Instagram, and I actually have an Instagram account too, and I'm sure you do. I don't know if you do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what should we look for in terms of this? I mean, the two-factor authentication is something that I thought was supposed to be a safety step for people, and now you're saying that there might be an issue with that.
Yeah, so what's really interesting, if you could know the red flags to look for and what to do when you see something that doesn't seem right. So what I always tell people is think about the things that companies will never do. So one thing, so for example, your bank will never send you an email saying, we see a problem with your account. Click on this helpful link here and type in your banking account credentials. Banks will never do that. So if you see an email that says that, that is a red flag. And you either call customer service, go to a branch, or go directly to your banking website and see if you have a notification from them there. It's the same thing with the social media companies.
Okay.
The social media companies, the most that they typically will do is send you an email that says, somebody's tried to reset your password, or somebody has changed your email address, or somebody's changed your cell phone. If it's not you, nothing to worry about. If it is, you should check your account. Now, a red flag would be if it says, just click here for a helpful link to your account. Don't do that. Always leave that email and go directly to the platform itself. Log in and look for those notifications. So that's the dead giveaway. So that red flag is, if it says click here to go to your account, never click on a link that says go to your account. That's typically a red flag that is a phishing attempt.
Okay. Also, a red flag is when my kids come screaming at me saying, what is this? Who hacked into my Instagram account?
Yeah. No, oftentimes okay. nobody has. I mean, that's yeah. how they get people, because our biggest fear is we know from the headlines that accounts get hacked, and we know from our friends and family
right.
and our colleagues online, they'll say, don't accept a friend request from me. My account was hacked. I'm trying to get it back. You know, so you see all that stuff. So as soon as you get this notice that looks official, that says, we think your account's been hacked, of course you have a panic mode and you think, I got to deal with this right away. Again, step away. That's what they're trying to get you to do. Anything that tries to get you to act fast, act now, click on a link and type in private information or credentials, usually a red flag. So I always say, step away from that, go directly to the app, try logging out and logging back in, and then kind of take it from there.
Okay, sound advice. Thank you, Teresa. So I wanted to share with you, we here at Cybersecurity Ventures did an online poll asking our audience members, do your kids ages kindergarten through high school know what a phishing scam is? So I started with my own children, and one out of three knew what a phishing scam is. So I was not surprised, because I don't think there's enough awareness about it today, and that's what we're trying to do here. And also, thankfully, you're in the studios today sharing your knowledge. But if you can tell us your experience with your own children and phishing, and the findings from our survey is that the majority of people did not know what a phishing scam is.
I think you bring up a great point, because I think it really does start at the home first. So the fact that you talk to your kids is a great start, and that's what everybody really needs to do. And it's interesting, I'm not surprised that in the research that you did where you asked people, do you know what a phishing exercise is, and even starting with your own kids, like some knew, some didn't. And I bet you that some of the ones that said, oh, I know what one is, when you asked them, they didn't totally get it right, which
exactly.
is okay, which
exactly.
is okay. You know, there's so much more that we can do on the awareness side. I can tell you, I make it a point to point it out to my kids, and we actually have a game where when they see it, they have to tell me about it. And I always say to them, please don't forward me a phishing email, because you never want somebody to accidentally click on the link in a phishing email. But I always say to them, before you delete it, screenshot it and send it to me. And it's hilarious. And so we've actually made it a game in our family, like who's seen the worst phishing emails and scams and ridiculous claims. And then I've taught each one of them how to actually report it to the email company that they use, or to report it to the social media
wow.
platform that they're on. And so that can be a great way to sort of spread the word. And they typically are the first ones in sort of their friends group to say, no, don't click on that link. Don't do that. Don't respond to that. And so I think that's where it starts. It starts in the home. But sort of the same thing I would tell people is, you know, have fun with it at home. And you know, really kind of show each other different scams that you're seeing. And it can be kind of a great way to sort of raise your level of awareness.
Okay. Thank you for that, Teresa. Could you come to my house
sure.
this weekend, please?
And absolutely.
I need some help.
We'll at least do a video conference.
Okay. Sounds good. So we took it a step further, and we went out last week to the Roosevelt Field Mall. It's the largest shopping mall in New York. And we went up to random people. I was actually the one doing the reporting. It was a lot of fun. And I just randomly walked up to people asking them, hello, do you know what a phishing scam is? And the majority of people, once again, did not. And it was, again, surprising. But again, it shows the awareness that we need. But just doing this assignment for Cybercrime Magazine was just a lot of fun. Just really speaking to different people in society of different ages. Our youngest was 3 and our oldest was 88, and of all different backgrounds, races, occupations. So we spoke to dentists and nurses, to welders and barbers. So if anyone is interested in finding more out about our survey, they can go to cybersecurityventures.com, and you as well, of course, you can review it. But in terms of anything else you'd like to say about phishing today, Teresa, because you've really given us a lot of good information that I think is useful.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people should know is, first of all, if you are a victim of a phishing scam, it doesn't get better with time. Don't think it's going to go away, and don't be ashamed.
Okay.
You're not the first or the last that's going to fall prey to a scam and be a victim. So if you're a victim and somebody's done account takeover or taken money from you or taken your credentials, you really need to report it and don't be embarrassed to do so. The other thing I would say is if you do lose money or you do see someone impersonating you to try and make money off of your likeness because you fell victim to a phishing scam, you can actually report that to the FBI at ic3.gov and let them know what's happened to you. They may or may not be able to work your individual case, but it can build a larger case that they can look at busting fraud ring operations that rely on phishing. So you could be doing your part for the greater good. But oftentimes when people fall victims to the scam, there's this level of embarrassment and nobody should be embarrassed. You're a victim of a crime. And you shouldn't be embarrassed that they were tricky and creative and they outthought and they outmaneuvered you and got you to click on a link. But it doesn't get better with time. And so if you're not able to get your accounts back, then you need to take matters into your own hands. So for example, if it involves anything around your bank account or your healthcare data, you need to call your bank. You need to call your healthcare company. You need to alert all of them. You're probably going to get somebody trying to get into my account and it isn't me. And put those safeguards in place and don't be embarrassed. The sooner you report it, the less likelihood you'll have of being either an identity victim or a financial crimes victim.
Okay, Teresa, do you find that the younger people might not be as savvy in terms of what they should do? They might ignore it. They might not do much about ignoring it is what I'm thinking most of them would do. Because they're not trained to see what they need to look for. So I don't know if you can share anything with the younger people, and I'm talking about those who have their own iPhones, their own Instagram and social media accounts.
Sure, definitely. You know, what's interesting is cyber criminals actually profile us. So cyber criminals know that anybody in the demographic of 35 years of age or older, we typically use email for big portions of our lives. And so they target the phishing campaigns on email and social media. They know that the 35 and under set really avoid email. You know, they really try not to read or send emails. They're using social media platforms, they're using messaging platforms, they're texting each other. And because cyber criminals are profiling the younger set because they do have money and they are sort of the next up and comers, they know they're not on email as much. So there's actually new phishing schemes that are very focused on social media, which we talked about, but also texting. So they're sending things via the messaging platforms and the texting platforms to try and get young people to click on links, open up attachments. They think they've won a gift card, they think it's a friend, they think it's their school, whatever it is. And so my biggest piece of advice to young people is the clicking on links and opening attachments can be one of the worst things you can do in the moment. There's a free tool that I really like that you can actually cut and paste a link into. You can also upload an attachment to called VirusTotal. And it's free and it searches across lots of different information databases. So that could be, you know, it takes longer to talk about than it takes to do. That can be a great way. But I think
Is it safe?
It's safe, yes. But, you know, the one thing I would say to young people is just because you're not checking email doesn't mean you're not being targeted by cyber criminals for phishing scams. They're just going to come at you a different way, a different platform.
It's crazy. Well, Teresa, I think you've been such a you've provided a great service today, and I can't thank you enough for my own safety and my family's safety. And we were thrilled that you were able to make it here at the Cybersecurity Ventures offices.
Yeah, and I love the work you did. You did the man on the street field research and interviews, and I can't wait to watch it and to learn from it. And so thank you for the service you've done, because you actually, you didn't just do like an online random poll. You talked to real people from all different socioeconomic and age demographics. And I think it'll be a very telling set of videos and research to take a look at. So I'm really excited to take a look at it.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Signing off here at Cybersecurity Ventures, Cybercrime Magazine. Bye.
The Cybercrime Magazine podcast is published by Cybersecurity Ventures, your trusted source for cybersecurity facts, figures, and statistics. Visit us at cybersecurityventures.com.